What does a person have to do in order to have a relationship with God? How good do you need to be? How religious do you need to be? What are the experiences that a person needs to go through in order to be certain that he or she has a relationship with the true God from the Bible? How can you personally know that you have a relationship with the living God? In the life of Jacob, we have a clear example of how God establishes relationships with men. And God has always followed the same pattern. The way he revealed himself to Jacob is the same way he has revealed himself to each one of the individuals that will be part of his eternal kingdom, to all Christians. And it is the same way God will reveal, or he has revealed himself to you. As believers, we also have a role that God has given us in the revelation of himself to men. As we look at this passage, we're going to see how God has revealed himself in our lives, and also the role that we play as he reveals himself in other people's lives. So if you have your Bible, turn your Bible to chapter 27 of Genesis, as we continue through the book of Genesis, we study the book of Genesis, and we'll begin at verse 41 and then go to the end of chapter, well, finish the chapter and continue to chapter 28. Before continuing, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, I pray that you will help me to share with my brothers different truths and principles that are found in this passage. Lord, I pray that you will help us to realize that people go through different stages in their Christian life, and that we are all different, even spiritually, Lord. And we thank you that you have come to us, you have found us, you have revealed yourself to us, Lord, regardless of our pattern, Lord, and we thank you that you have sent the Lord Jesus Christ to, in order to bring us to you, and that you have paid the price of our sins, Lord. I pray that you will help us to live lives that honor you, Lord, and Lord, I pray that you will help us also to be used by you as we proclaim the message of the truth of forgiveness of sin in Christ, Lord. And we're praying this in the name of Jesus, your Son. Amen. In chapter 27, we looked at an event that fragmented a whole family over spiritual matters. This is not a big family. We're talking about four people. And the four of them were trying to control the blessings of God, something that was not given for them to do. First, we have Isaac, deliberately going against God's revealed will, trying to give the blessing to his favorite son because he liked his hunting game. So, secretly, he called Esau and he tried to give him the blessing, even though he had known from even before their birth that God had. God was favoring the younger one, and the older one will serve the younger one. Then we have Esau, who had already sold his birthright, and part of the birthright was the blessing from the father to the son. So if he had sold his birthright, he didn't really own that blessing that his father was offering to him. Although if someone is offering your blessing, why would you reject it? So at the same time, he knew he had sold that birthright long time ago. And then on the other side, we had Rebecca and her son Jacob, and they were trying to obtain what God had already given to Jacob through lies and deception. And they were risking to be cursed instead of being blessed. Jacob lied twice. First, he lied about who he was. Isaac said, "Who are you?" And he just said, "I'm Esau, your firstborn child." And then he lied about, "Well, how did you get the game so fast? Oh, because the Lord your God blessed me. And another big lie. He didn't gain anything that God would not have given him. But they lost much in family relationship. That blessing belongs to Jacob. That's what God said. It was God's prerogative to give that blessing. And when they tried to get it through lies, they didn't gain something that they were not going to get. God was going to give it to them. But in their family relationships, I guess the family went bad. It was very bad for the family. They lost this trust in Jacob a little more. He used to cheat, but now he lied. They lost peace, harmony, and the time together for Jacob and his mom came to an end. From there on, Jacob had to flee, and his mom probably would never see him again after that. Everybody in that family, even though it was God's chosen family, acted in a very unspiritual way, as if God's blessing could be obtained by cheating and conniving. So in chapter 28, we're going to see how God pours his blessings on people. What is the method or the procedure, or how does God usually bless people? One thing we're going to see is that you don't have to fight for them, like Jacob. You don't have to lie trying to get God's favor on your life. God gives them freely, and they're accepted by faith. So let's see how God revealed himself to Jacob so that we can see the pattern that he follows as he reveals himself to people. So to understand how God reveals himself to men, we need to see that God reveals himself to people while they are in their sinful condition. There is nothing good that they can do in order to obtain God's favor. If you ask me which one was behaving better, Esau or Jacob, just by looking at this, who was the cheater? Well, Jacob, it wasn't Esau. Esau didn't care about God, but even it seems like his parents, in some way by having a favorite, they promoted what we saw in chapter 27, Rebecca taking a favorite son and Isaac taking a favorite son and putting them against each other to the point where Esau cried, he was bitter, and in verse 41, you have your Bibles with me, let's read in 41, so Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing with which his father blessed him. And Esau said in his heart, the days of mourning for my father are at hand, and then I will kill my brother Jacob. So we have this family, in some ways, running against God's will, full of sin. Sin to the point where he hated his brother in his heart, just like the Lord Jesus Christ said, if you said to your brother, Raka, or you call him Moron, or a bad word, it's like if you have committed before God, you have already committed adultery. Basically, you are a guilty, not adultery, sorry, to have committed murder. Right, give a few verses. Yeah. So basically, before God, all sins are equal. And of course, if you insult your brother, it's not the same as if you had taken a knife or a gun or whatever and gotten rid of him. But before God, you are as guilty in the same way. Before man, it's not. So you cannot say, well, I already committed adultery. I'm not adultery. committed murder in my heart, so I might as well go the way. No, that doesn't justify that. But that basically is for the Lord Jesus Christ was explaining that everybody is a sinner. Even those who have not committed murder, or they cannot be accused of committing murder before God, they can. So he is Esau committing murder, which was in some ways encouraged by the behavior of his parents. The other thing that we saw in the life of Isaac is that Isaac, in some ways, he assumed that he was going to get a lot of the blessings from Abraham, and he saw his father Abraham worship God, but Isaac himself did not make many altars for God. There is not that, in fact, there is only, we have read only one time when Isaac made an altar to worship God, and that was towards the end of his life, which I'm imagining that maybe Jacob and Esau did not have the example of his father having a relationship with God. They had the blessing. And as we saw, God called Abraham, not because Abraham was better than any other man on the earth, but because he had a purpose, and the purpose was to redeem humanity. And the way he chose it, he chose this man from a pagan society, like the whole world was, then his son, and then he just chose one of his sons. And now he has chosen one of the twins that Isaac had. Verse 42, and the words of Esau, her older son, were told to Rebekah. So she sent and called Jacob, her younger son, and said to him, surely your brother Esau comforts himself concerning you by intending to kill you. Now therefore, my son, obey my voice. Arise, flee to my brother Laban in Haran, and stay with him a few days until your brother's fury turns away, until your brother's anger turns away from you and forgets what you have done to him. Then I will send and bring you from there. Why should I be bereaved also of you both in one day? So God is ready to reveal himself to Jacob. Jacob, even throughout his life, he doesn't consider God his God. As he told Isaac, the Lord, your God, helped me to get this game, and I'm bringing it to you. And he had no problems lying to his dad. He still doesn't have the fear of God in his life. He's heard of the true God. He knows his name, but it's not part of his life yet. How old is Jacob at this time? We know that Esau got married when he was 40. And at that time, Isaac was 100 years old, and he couldn't see much. So Jacob, they were twins, so he's at least 40, if not 45, 50. You can put something. Sometimes when we read this story, we think about this 18-year-old boy going to meet Rachel, and very strong guy, just moved the rock and all that. But no, we're talking about a 45-year-old man who is going to never be married. He's a bachelor, and he is now listening to his mom. He's being a mama's boy. He's always being with mama in the tents, and always help with all the tent chores and everything that had to be done at home. So this is quite hard for him. It's going to be also quite hard for Rebecca, and even for Isaac. But Rebecca has somehow to encourage Isaac to send him away. She doesn't want to do it this time by herself. So, but when God reveals himself to man, he reveals himself when people are in a sinful condition. And when you think about your own life, it's not that you reformed yourself and then God came to you and said, oh, now that you are good enough, I'm going to let you know who I am. God came to a sinner. And of the two of them, he chose Jacob. Part of it was his own purpose, just to show. Paul also said, God chose me even though I was the worst of sinners. Part of it is that they're not a sin that God cannot forgive, basically. But he has chosen to forgive people who we would think they are. Well, Paul said that was a persecutor of the church, a murderer. He was in charge of killing Stephen, of the stoning. And God chose to save him and then make him a leader in the church. The same thing with Jacob. You would think, oh, he's the worst of the two brothers. If someone is going to receive God's blessing, it should be Esau. But God, in his own purpose, and I think he had different purposes, one of the purposes he had in choosing Jacob, it was to show that it doesn't matter how good you are, God can pour his blessings upon whoever he wants. He's God, and no one is good enough to get them, so he just has to choose. And he chose Jacob. So the second thing is, God reveals himself to man because he has been planning to bless him. As we saw, before Jacob and Esau were born, the Lord said to her, two nations are in your womb, two people shall be separated from your body. One people shall be stronger than the other, and the older shall serve the younger. So even before they were born, God already was planning to bless them. The Bible says that if you have been saved, you have been chosen from the foundation of the world. When God was planning to give his blessings in Jesus Christ, the seed of the woman, which later became the seed of Noah, and then the promise, the seed of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, he had you already in mind. And he was planning to reveal himself to you. And out of his good pleasure, that's why you are here this morning listening to this message. We're going to see to which detail he revealed himself to Jacob. And that's what he has done to us. Just because he wanted to do it. Just because he loved us. So here we're going to see that Rebecca is going to try to manipulate Isaac so he will be the one sending Jacob away. So let's read it. Verse 46, and Rebecca said to Isaac, I'm weary of my life because of the daughters of Heth, the Hittites. If Jacob takes a wife from the daughters of Heth, like those who are the daughters of the land, what good will my life be to me? Basically, this was a very passionate statement. Life in the Hebrew way of thinking involved everything, all the emotions. And he said, if I'm going to be fighting my whole life with these daughters of this land and what they are doing and what I don't agree with, why do I want my life? I don't need my life. So then Isaac called Jacob and, notice the word there, and blessed him. The first time he thought he was blessing Esau, although he blessed Jacob. Now he's blessing Jacob as Jacob. So now he's now getting the true blessing from his dad. And he charged him and said to him, you will not take a wife from the daughters of Canaan. Verse 2, arise and go to Padan Aram, to the house of Bethuel, your mother's father, and take yourself a wife from there, from the daughters of Laban, your mother's brother. May God Almighty bless you. That's the second time in the Bible we find El Shaddai. You might have heard that song. El means God. And Shaddai, we are not very sure about the meaning, but it was from a very old time. It was translated into the Greek 300 years before Jesus Christ came as the Pantokratos, which means Panto, all, Kratos is authority, or they're basically almighty or all-powerful God. So we're thinking that most likely that was the meaning of that. But he says, may the God Almighty, who has all the power, the one that has all the control, bless you and make you fruitful and multiply you, that you may be a church of people, an assembly of peoples, and give you the blessing of Abraham, to you and your descendants with you, that you may inherit the land in which you are a stranger, which God gave to Abraham. So Isaac sent Jacob away and he went to Padan Aram to Laban, the son of the 12, the Syrian, the brother of Rebekah and the mother of Jacob and Esau. So basically now, this is an extension of the first blessing he had given Esau. He's giving him, may God give you the blessing of Abraham. I think even Isaac has realized that he's not in charge of who gets which blessing. It is God's blessing, and God gives it to whoever he wants. First he said, I'm going to give you a blessing, my son Esau. But this time, he's asking God, may God give you the blessing that he gave Abraham. And then he passed on to me. And may God, who gives the blessings, may give you the same blessing. That you will inherit the land in which you are a stranger, which God gave to Abraham. And why, I guess that's quite important. Even every part of the land and the whole planet belongs to God. And you cannot give what you don't own. But God is able to give land when he wants, and he can take it away because all the land belongs to him. And he decides who is he going to keep in the land. In this case, the Canaanites were removed, because they started doing evil in the sight of the Lord. And it's very important to understand, in the sight of the Lord, in the sight of Rebekah, her two daughters were her two daughters-in-law were evil. She didn't like them. But that was the way they looked at them. When we look at evil in the Bible, we look at what God has called evil. And that's what we take as an absolute. But, of course, many people now are challenging that. Well, that works for you. Well, that works, but that doesn't work for me. However, we have to, if we don't want to be the judges, we just have to go with what God has revealed that is evil. And it is the evil in God's eyes what makes people lose their rights that God has given to certain land. And it has been throughout, like Sodom and Gomorrah, God was just waiting for them to fill up their measure, and then the same thing he said with Canaan. It's not the time yet, but in 400 years, Abraham, I'm going to bring your people, and the iniquity of the land of Canaan will be fulfilled or filled up. So, the most important reason for Jacob not to take a wife from the land of Canaan was a spiritual reason. Keeping themselves separate from the pagan practices of the nations around them was essential. Although we're not told directly, we don't know what was bothering Rebecca and Isaac about these two women that Esau had married. But when we know that Abraham knew how important it was to keep Isaac separate, because he sent his servant in a special trip to get Rebekah. Well, he didn't know he was going to get Rebekah, but to get a wife for Isaac. Now, Isaac didn't care too much about his kids. I mean, he let Esau marry these two women, and he didn't plan ahead to send someone to his camp to where he got his wife for his favorite son. So in some ways, Isaac had disregarded a lot of the spiritual things in his family, and then his family was suffering for it. But now they have realized, oops, I messed up in this. He married someone from the land, and now we're having problems with them. Let's not do the same with Jacob. So the main reason is not because it's wrong to marry between nations, people from different nations, or it's wrong to marry interracially or intercontinentally or whatever you want to call it. The main thing is God wanted to keep his people separate. And the same principle is applied in the New Testament. The New Testament commands believers to marry believers. You can marry whoever you want as long as they are believers. Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness and lawlessness? What God said is right and whatever God said is wrong. What communion has light with darkness, or Christ with Belial? How is Satan and Christ friends? What communion do they have? What part has a believer with an unbeliever? The most important reason is a spiritual reason on who you should marry. What agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. God has said, I will dwell with them and walk among them. I will be their God and they shall be my people. Therefore come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean. I will receive you. And I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. It is quite a special privilege to be part of the family of God. And that's why we need to be very careful who we are going to marry, especially if you're a true believer, who you're going to date, and how. And it's important to instruct the little kids that are growing up, which one day are going to be dating on all these things. So it's interesting to see also that even people who have been married, they still seek their parents' approval in many things throughout their lives. It happens to me, so when my mom comes to visit, I feel like, oh, we shouldn't do this, or because I know she doesn't like this, or we should do this because she likes that. And we have here Esau married with two wives and still seeking his mom's and dad's approval. When Esau saw that Isaac had blessed Jacob and sent him away to Paddan Aram to take to himself a wife from there, as he blessed him and gave him a charge saying, "You shall not take a wife from the daughters of Canaan," and that Jacob had obeyed his father and his mother and had gone to Paddan Aram, also Esau saw the daughters of Canaan, saw that the daughters of Canaan didn't please his father Isaac. So Esau went to Ishmael and took Mahalat, the daughter of Ishmael, Abraham's son, the sister of Nebaioth, to be his wife, in addition to the wives he had. Esau wanted to please his father. When you think about Esau, if you had asked probably anybody around it, what do you think about Esau? And they would have said, "I think Esau is a good man. I think he's a great person. He's always trying to please. He brought his father meat from his hunting game, and his father liked that. He tried to get now a wife that would please his father." Probably everybody could say something nice about him. He wasn't like Jacob, always in a tent, always with his mom, always. He was going out to town, and you could see him with his bow and arrow, or maybe, I don't know what he used to hunt, and then he would talk to people, "Hey, how are you?" He was something nice, and someone nice, but he never tried to please God. And as we've seen, it's part of the lack of instruction in his family. He wanted to please his father. Even as he's 40, 50-year-old man, he still wanted to please his father. And he went and got a wife. He didn't understand why they sent Jacob away and how important it was to keep themselves separate from the people of the land. He just thought, "Oh, maybe if I get someone who comes from Abraham, maybe they just want someone who is related in the family." And he said, that's not exactly how it works. He just got a third wife now. But he had no spiritual understanding. So God has called us in our sinful condition. It's not that we were good when he called us. And also he has been planning to bless us. He found a plan for our salvation from the foundation of the world. And he wants you to be part of the same promise of blessing that was given to Jacob and Isaac is the same blessing of which we take part of when we become believers in Jesus Christ. That blessing that God was planning to give to the whole world comes to you just by believing in Jesus Christ. The third thing is, God reveals himself to people when he considers it best. God orchestrates your life, and the time that you spend in your life like Esau, not caring about spiritual things because you don't know anything about spiritual things, God is in control of that time too. For the Hebrew mind, there was not such thing as chance. God did everything, even the time like Jacob explained, "Because the Lord your God prospered my hunting and I got it." He understood that if someone was going to hunt something, God had to work it out, even in the smallest things. If David was going to hit Goliath, God was going to work it out, and God worked it out really well. So, God chooses a time in your life to reveal himself to you. But how does God reveal himself to you? Well, let's look here. So verse 10, "Now Jacob went out from Beersheba, towards Haran. So he came to a certain place and stayed there all night because the sun had set. And he took one of the stones of that place and put it at his head. And he lay down in that place to sleep. Then he dreamed." This is the first time Jacob has left his house. He doesn't know how long he's going to be. He knows that he can't stay because his brother, he really takes his brother off. So he has to move away. And there are all these feelings of going to a new place that you don't know. He comes to this town called Luz, L-U-Z. And he decides not to stay inside the town. He says, I'm just going to stay out here by myself. He finds a rock that he uses as a pillow. And as he's going through all these different emotions, maybe excitement, I want to meet someone to marry, or sadness, is like, oh, I can't believe I still can't remember my dad touching my neck and not recognizing that it was me. God knew it was the time for him to reveal himself to Jacob. And the time when God revealed himself in your life was also a time that God planned. The next thing is, when God reveals himself, he does it in an indisputable, understandable way. In a very clear way that you can't miss it. You understand, okay, this is God talking. And he's very clear because he's going to use words. Verse 12. Then he dreamed, and behold, a ladder was set up on the earth, and its top reached to heaven. And there the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, your father, the God of Isaac. The land of Jubilee I will give to you and your descendants. Also your descendants will be as the dust of the earth. And you shall spread abroad to the west and the east, to the north and the south. And in you all the seeds of the families of the earth shall be blessed. Behold, I am with you, and will keep you wherever you go, and will bring you back to this land. For I will not leave you until I am done what I have spoken to you. So he dreams and he says, he sees this ladder that has been carefully set. And he sees messengers of God. The word translated as angels are messengers, and usually they are angels going up and down the earth. Basically, he sees a connection, a relationship between the spiritual realm where God is with him. First, it seems like he was always working everything in his life as he was standing for himself. Okay, if I'm going to get my dad's blessing, we need to work it out. I need to go and do Lias, just as my mom requested. If I'm going to get my brother's birthright, I'm going to negotiate that. Okay, he's very hungry, this is the time to do it. He wants some of the things I'm cooking. It seems like his life and Esau's life was a life without God. And now what God is doing is revealing himself and saying, Jacob, there is more to life of what's going in your life besides the things that you are looking at. I am in control of things. In fact, I am going to see God in his dream, and God speaks directly to him in words. Because sometimes we think about, oh, if I just had an encounter with God, I don't know, I would see his picture, or I don't know, like Paul in the way to Damascus, we just saw this bright light. But when God has an encounter with you, he speaks with words. He makes his message understandable. He didn't just get a feeling, oh, I have a feeling that God is going to give me this land. No, God said, I'm going to give you this land. I'm going to take you, I'm going to go with you, and I'm going to come back. I'm going to bring you back. And in the New Testament, the passage that we read this morning, well, that Cuthbert read this morning, he said to him, most assuredly, I said to you, hereafter you shall see heaven open, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. When I read in Spanish for many years, I thought, well, it is Jesus Christ, I guess the messengers come down to him, and I guess they go up. But if you read carefully, the angels of God are ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. The Son of Man is the ladder. The Son of Man is the connection between earth and God. Without him, there is no connection. He said, I am the way. And the angels are coming down on him. Up and down. They are upon him. They are descending and ascending upon the Son of Man. And Jesus said this very purposefully, because he was referring to the same passage that we're looking at. where there is this ladder and they're going up and down, and that was the connection of Jacob to the God of heaven. Well, Jesus Christ is the connection that was given as the blessing of this promise. So we have here that, notice that, and I found a commentator that was this, he was saying that Jacob, he was looking into the sky, and then suddenly all those thoughts in the sky brought God to the point to say, I'm going to reveal myself to Jacob, because he's thinking about me, about the firmament. And no, I'm sorry, but what we find here, just like with Abraham, it is God who initiates the contact. It is God who works things out in your life so that you can get the message. And I think if I have to put people in that ladder, we would be the messengers bringing the words of God. When Jacob saw the ladder, he saw God himself, and then God spoke to him. Well, God is not going to speak to you directly. He has chosen to have people preaching the gospel. So we are the messengers. We believers are God's messengers that come down and bring the message to other people so that they can understand. But we use words. We use things that they can understand. We just don't create a feeling or an environment where they feel, oh, I feel God's presence. The way that God has chosen to reveal himself is through a message. Speaking. That's how God reveals himself to people. And we are the messengers that God sends. But God has to orchestrate everything else in the life of the person we preach the gospel to or we share the gospel with, so that they can come to an encounter with God. We're just the message. But the ladder that is going to connect them is the Lord Jesus Christ. So, God initiated the conversation with Jacob. And afterwards, verse 16, then Jacob awoke from his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I didn't know it, and I was afraid. And he said, how, if you have the King James, it's dreadful. If you have NASB, NIV, or New King James, it's how awesome is this place. This is none other than the house of God, and it is the gate of heaven. He realized this is the connection from God. At the same time, that dreadful or awesome, when he came in, when he realized actually that there is a God, and he is the God of a certain place, he understood he's the God of this place, because he is the entrance, so he lives here. He was afraid. Why was he afraid? I think he understood his sinfulness. Just like Isaiah, I have seen God, I am undone, because I have seen the Lord of hosts face to face. But it is God himself who decided to approach him. So, and it's God himself who didn't kill him. He just revealed himself without allowing him, and then allowed him to live. And at the same time, when we come close to God, we need to understand that it is great that we can meet God, but at the same time, we need to fear God. That's part of the fear of God. And it just is reverence, but reverence to the point that we are sinners. And how dreadful is this place in some ways, or how awesome is this place? It is a place of encounter with God. The encounter with God will cause fear, because then you realize, This is not just a game. This is actually God speaking to me. Verse 18. Then Jacob rose early in the morning and took the stone that he had put in his head and set it up as a pillar and poured oil on top of it. And he called the name of that place House of God. Beth, house, El, is God. But the name of that city had been Luz previously. So, what Jacob is doing here now is worshiping God after having an encounter with him. So when you look at these things, some of the purposes that I think why God chose Jacob was because he wanted to show that you didn't need to be good to have an encounter with God. You just, God comes to you as a sinner. You also don't need to initiate a relationship with God. God comes to you at the right time, at His own time. And also, He shows you how He makes decisions. He doesn't base whether He reveals to you whether you're good or bad, rich or poor, great and small. He does something, He does that freely. And the last thing is, God reveals Himself to man in His sinful condition because He's been planning it along. He considered it best in a way that everybody will understand. And the last thing is that God allows people to interact with Him at their level of understanding. Sometimes we who have studied God's Word, we lose our patience with new believers and we want to correct everything they say. And sometimes, just like Jacob is going to do here, people have an encounter with God. And what they do is they take everything that they have thought about God and then they try to interact with God in such a way. And then you would say, no, you cannot do that with God. God is all powerful. He just promised that He will bring you back. And you could tell Jacob, He's not just the God of Bethel. He's the God of the whole earth. How in the world do you think He's going to watch you there and then bring you back if He's only the God of Bethel? If He only is in control of a geographic region, how do you think He's actually going to watch over you if you are far away? Will He be able to bring you back? You don't understand this very well, Jacob. And then look what he does. Verse 20. Then Jacob made a vow, saying, if God will be with me and keep me in this way that I am going, and give me bread to eat and clothing to put on, so that I come back to my father's house in peace. Then the Lord God, then Yahweh, as God had revealed Himself, when you have capitals LORDs, Yahweh will be my God. And this stone which I have set as a pillar shall be God's house, and all that you give me, I will surely give a tenth to you. Some people have said, oh, that encounter with God changed Jacob. And I think he did. He actually, for the first time, was able to worship God in spirit and in truth. He knew there was a real God, and that God had come to him and spoken to him directly, and he understood what God was saying. So when he did that altar, he was worshiping God truly for the first time. Even though he might be in other sacrifices with his father Isaac, he didn't believe in that God. He didn't know him. But now that he's by himself, God comes and he says, before you leave this land, let me tell you something. I'm going to bring you back here. Then he says, wow, this is dreadful, awesome. God talked to me. So I think he's just going to act the same way he's always acted. And he said, he made a deal with his brother, right? Would you sell me your birthright? I give you some porridge. Well, porridge, or if you sell me your birthright. Well, let me do a deal with God. If you watch over me, and give me food and clothes, and bring me back to my father's house in peace, that means not just in one piece, but with prosperity, and then I'll give you the privilege of being my God. And then you would say, you can't talk like that to God. Look, in this verse says that God is the Lord of the whole earth. No, in this verse says that no man can deal with God. Basically, he's trying to strike a deal with God. And you can't do that. And he says, even this stone that I have set as a pillar is going to become a temple to worship you. It will be God's house. And all that you give me, I'm going to even give you the 10%. And some people have tried to say, oh no, what Jacob is saying, this should be taken as a subjunctive. Jacob is saying, since you're going to bless me, and since you're going to give me clothes, and since you're going to give me all that, then you will be my God. Well, as a result, From now on, from this point onward, you will be my God. But when we keep reading the story, you realize that still Jacob is trying to fend for himself. He goes to see Laban, as we're going to see, and he's going to be dealing, just like he's trying to deal with God here. Okay, I want your daughter, let's do a deal. Okay, work for me 7 years. And he's going to be dealing back and forth, but then when he comes back and he's afraid again, at the right time, then he realizes, I need to trust in God, now that I'm going to face my brother who wanted to kill me. And then he realizes, you know, that promise he gave me, he has brought me back. And he changes. The life with God is a life of learning. And sometimes we're very impatient with new believers. Oh, you can be saying that, that's not true. But the thing is, God is working in their lives. And after the first encounter with God, they might still say some weird things like, he has a weird doctrine or things like that. But hopefully, if they are true believers, God will keep working with them. And as they go see God's faithfulness, they will realize, oh, you mean I didn't find God, but he found me? When I was saved, I thought, oh, we found God in this church because my mom brought us to this church. He brought us to different churches, but it was there where we found God. And we think, and that's the most way, I think most of the believers, when they become Christians, unless they come from a Reformed background family or something like that, most of the believers, they said, I was living my own way, and then I found God in such and such church. Such and such Baptist church. And from my point of view as a human, it is right. But then as you keep studying the scriptures, then you're like, oh, you mean that God orchestrated these things so I would come that weekend to that church? You mean that my mom knew that there were churches where people could actually have a relationship with God and they could come to that ladder where you could actually have a relationship with God? Yes, my mom, when she was pregnant with me, and then later she met some missionaries. She didn't become a Christian at that time, but she met some missionaries and they were studying the Bible. And then she realized that there were these people who lived very good lives and they had happy families and things were going well in their lives. And she wanted that for her children. And then you could say, well, she was looking for God. No, God provided those missionaries. So God created some interest in her life. And then later in life, when she had God gave her the opportunity, she looked for a church like that. And then that's where we found God. But for a few years, I thought that. Then I realized, no, God was the one who revealed himself to us using different people in people's lives, using different messengers, like those missionaries. So sometimes we need to be a little more patient with people that don't have the complete understanding of the scripture, because even ourselves don't have 100% understanding of God's mind. We have understood more, but still sometimes people need to have patience with us. You have to have patience with me. And thank you for doing so. So, God allows people to interact with him at their level of understanding. Jacob wants to do a deal with God. He says, I'll take, well, he didn't say that, he didn't respond back, but he doesn't correct him. So go ahead, I'll show you who I am. So, if God has revealed himself to you, your role is to explain to others in a clear, understandable way how he has planned to bless all the families of the earth from the foundation of the world. If we look again at the passage where God spoke to Jacob in verse 13, I am the Lord of Abraham, your father, the God of Isaac. The land in which you lie, I will give to you and your descendants. Also, your descendants will be as the dust of the earth, and you shall spread abroad to west, east, and north. And in you, all the seeds and all the families of the earth shall be blessed. God had planned to bless all the families of the earth. It is not last minute that just God chose to save part of this family or a lot of people of your family. God had planned that ahead of time. And now if you are part of that plan, then God can use you as a messenger to bring the message to others. And remember that the most important work that God is doing right now is proclaiming salvation in Jesus Christ. That's where God is. If you want to see God working on earth, it's through that message, the message of the cross. He makes people a new creature, and then He lavishes His blessings upon them. And Jesus is the only ladder that makes it possible for anyone to have that relationship with God. He's the gate for heaven. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, I pray that You will help us to share this message with others. Lord, we thank You for the way that You have revealed Yourself to us, Lord. And Lord, we praise You for that because we didn't deserve it, Lord. And Lord, we are still struggling with sin, Lord. And we thank You that You have patience with us and still bless us. And I pray that You will keep giving us understanding of the things we need to stay away because of the terrible consequences they bring and the damage that they do to our families. And we also pray that You will help us to share this message with others, knowing that You have, from the foundation of the world, planned to bless so many people. And I just pray that You will help us to be faithful at that. And thank You for how You guide us through Your word, and that You have spoken it in a clear and understandable way. I pray in this in Jesus' name. Amen.